Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Thrilled to have you with us tonight here at your local liberal resistance headquarters, where we proudly champion the conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. Thrilled to have you with us this evening. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach us at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Couple of quick notes, a programming note, and a calendar update for you. Thursday, coming up this Thursday, the 13th, at 7 is the Sedgwick County Republican Party's bourbon and cigar tasting event at the Candle Club. It should be a great event. With special guest Congressman Ron Estes. I know I'm going to be there, obviously, smoking stogies. But if you're interested, you can find information. You can buy tickets at sedgwick.gop. Should be a great event. I know it's limited, but there are still a few tickets available. The other is a scheduling note. And I just got the text. If you haven't heard, Fox News is broadcasting. They're saying that the Senate is close to a cloture vote on ending the shutdown. And I'm texting right now as we speak with Senator Roger Marshall. And he just texted me back to say that he can call in. He will have to step off the Senate floor to do it. So I'm going to try and text during the break with Dr. Marshall and get a time that he can step off the floor to do that. In fact, he's texting me right now to ask what time. So I will text him back. In fact, Phil, will you text him back and get a time for us? You tell him that I'll make time for him whenever he's available. So in the meantime, so we may have to schedule a little bit around this tonight to get Dr. Marshall on. But we will have former New York Congresswoman Nan Hayworth with us to discuss the election of socialist Zora Mondami as New York mayor of New York. House Speaker Dan Hawkins will be with us to tell us what's next for the prospects of congressional redistricting now that leadership failed to get enough Republican votes to call in a special session to redraw the state's House district map. And Representative Pat Proctor will join us to explain what it means now that the three-day mail-in voting grace period in Kansas has ended. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls, and we'll see what time we can get Dr. Marshall on, as Phil is in the midst of texting him right now on my phone, which means I have to be careful what other texts he might be reading on my phone. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. Before we get to all that, I do want to have a blunt force reality check with some of you. And let me preface this by saying, for those of you who did come out, for those of our listeners, those Republicans, those conservatives who did get out and did vote, and Phil, I see you looking at the schedule tonight, we'll move who we need to move. So we will accommodate Doc when he's available, just so you know. But for those of you who did turn out and did vote, thank you. Because we needed you. Sedgwick County needed Republicans to turn out and vote on Tuesday, and you did. But let's be honest, last Tuesday's elections were a disaster. And they were a disaster not because we didn't spend enough money, not because we didn't have good candidates, not because the candidates weren't out door knocking or weren't working or didn't try hard enough. They were a disaster because Republicans didn't vote. Period. Full stop. There's no other reason. We can complain about the candidates. We can complain about being outspent. We can complain about not having enough yard signs or not sending enough mailers or text messages. We can complain about messaging or the consultants. But all that is noise. We didn't lose because Democrats beat us. We lost because Republicans didn't show up to vote. We lost because conservatives stayed home. We lost on Tuesday because our side decided it wasn't important enough to get off the freaking couch. Turnout for Republicans in Sedgwick County was pathetic. Turnout in general was pathetic. It was embarrassing. It was indefensible. 11%. That's bad. Less than 12%. Barely above single digits. Going to interrupt myself here and tell you that at 8:45 Eastern time, so 7:45, we're going to have Senator Roger Marshall step away from the Senate floor and bring us an update on the shutdown, just so you know, here coming up in just about half an hour. Barely in above single digits, folks. In an election that determines school boards, taxing authority, municipal direction, what your kids get taught, whether or not boys can play in girls' sports, what kind of city you live in, what kind of county budget we operate under, what the city budget's like, what whether or not you're going to have your property taxes raised, 11% show up. 9,000 fewer Republicans showed up to vote in Wichita on Tuesday this time than 4 years ago. 9,000. Do you understand how insane that is mathematically? Republicans in Sedgwick County didn't lose because we are outnumbered. We lost because we didn't bother to show up. You could literally flip every one of those close races if our own people simply voted at the same rate we voted last cycle or typically do in even numbered years. Every conservative listening right now who did not vote or who did vote rather, thank you. Truly, thank you. You did your job. You took it seriously. You understood the stakes. I'm not talking to you today. Tonight, I'm talking to the people who didn't vote, who weren't bothered, who weren't busy enough, who didn't care, who had something else going on. I'm talking to the people who are going to spend the next 12 months bitching about inflation, complaining about taxes, complaining about school indoctrination, complaining about socialism, complaining about how do Democrats always win everything in these cities, but didn't take 9 minutes last Tuesday to vote. If you didn't vote, you elected the Democrats. You did. Republicans who don't vote elect Democrats. You want to talk woke school curriculum? I hope you voted. You want to talk the transgender policies being snuck in? You didn't vote. You want to talk out of control spending about bonds and levies? You didn't vote. You want to talk insane property tax values? You didn't vote. You want to talk socialism creeping into every local institution? You didn't vote. You don't get to complain about it if you won't even show up on election day. Even Johnson County beat us, which is supposedly blue. supposedly trending left, supposedly harder for Republicans, but they had twice the turnout Sedgwick County did. We barely managed 11%. They got 24% voter turnout. In the place where conservative victory is supposed to be harder, they doubled our voter turnout. They showed up. We didn't. And this is the part people don't like hearing, but it's the part that's true. This is not a Democrat problem. It's a Republican discipline problem. It's a Republican commitment problem. It's a Republican prioritization problem. Democrats win because Democrats show up. Republicans lose because we find excuses. And I said excuses. I don't care if it's cold. I don't care if you're busy. I don't care if you got other priorities or if it's raining or if you don't like the name on the ballot or if you're just not motivated or somebody didn't answer a questionnaire or if you just weren't excited. I don't care if there was only one name on the ballot and it wasn't the person you liked. I don't care if you were mad about your party. I don't care if it wasn't a presidential year. In local election, turnouts is policy. Turnout is your kid's curriculum. It's your property tax bill. And you have one weapon, one leverage point, and you misfired. Voting is the key. And people who stayed home on Tuesday surrendered that weapon voluntarily. So here's the bottom line. We got another shot. We got a shot next year. We got a shot 2 years from now. And if Republicans ever want to stop the woke insanity in schools, if we want to stop the gender ideology, we have to vote. It's that simple. Enough scolding. Let's focus on next time. So to the 11%, again, thank you. You're the backbone. But to the tens of thousands who didn't bother, I hope you're uncomfortable. Enough. Let's move on. I hope you felt called out. You should. Let's move on. But we damn well better not do it again in 26. We either show up, every one of us, or we're going to lose the community permanently. There's no magic fix. There's no magic bullet. There's no magical candidate that automatically wins it for us. We need to do it. Turnout is the battle. Republicans want to stop socialism. We need to show up. Republicans must vote, period. We'll take a quick break, and then Representative Pat Proctor will join us to explain what it means now that the three-day mail-in voting grace period in Kansas has ended. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. They do their Days of Action the third Saturday of every month. It's a great way to get engaged, to make a difference. You have the power to change the trajectory of our city, of our county. It's a great way to make your voice heard, get involved, help door knock and educate voters. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, last Tuesday marked the end of the three-day grace period for mail-in ballots in Kansas. So no more having to wait, you know, extra 3 days just to find out, you know, who won an election. With us now to explain how important that was is Representative Pat Proctor. He chairs the House Elections Committee. Pat, thank you for joining us. Nice work, by the way, getting that finally passed.
Yeah, only took 3 years. That was easy.
Yeah, it shouldn't be that heavy a lift, but that's what happens when you have a Democrat governor vetoing everything.
Yep. But, you know, and I'll tell you, after 2 years, I was just about ready to give up. But then I go around and I talk to a lot of clerks because I'm chair of the Elections Committee and we're passing laws. We need to know how it impacts them. And I started hearing from clerks that, you know, that we have this 3 day grace period, but most, you know, a lot of the ballots, they can't even count because they come in without a postmark.
Right.
And, you know, that's just that's unconscionable that a voter did everything right, the clerk did everything right, and we're still not going to count the ballot because the post office didn't put a little stamp on it. So I gave it one more shot, and this year we were finally able to get it across the line.
Well, and you know, I know the left, they say it's disenfranchising. They say, you know, voter suppression by getting rid of this. You know, but the bottom line is we had it, it went through it, and lo and behold, I think now that we're moving forward, we're not going to see that. We're not going to see all of, you know, quote unquote voter suppression. But and the bottom line is, anytime you have ballots lingering, there's just a greater possibility of fraud. And that's really what we're trying to prevent here, correct?
Absolutely. You know, at the end of the day, everything that I work on in the Elections Committee is about restoring voter confidence and bringing people back to the process. And, you know, when somebody wins on election night, then 2 days later they're not winning, that erodes voter confidence. And
yeah.
So this idea of taking ballots after the election is a bad idea anyways. But then there's the fact that, you know, like I said, we finally got the Secretary of State's office to actually pull the data. And during the 2024 primary, they received 3,000 ballots during that 3-day grace period. 1,000 of them they couldn't count because they came in without a postmark. So, I mean, that's just that's like 1 out of 3 ballots during this period. I mean, that's just I hear all the Democrats say, oh, that's disenfranchisement.
Whatever.
You know, Kansas voters are smart.
Yeah.
If we tell them what the rules are, they'll follow the rules. Before we had a 3-day grace period, about 2,000 ballots would come in after the election. Now we have a 3-day grace period, about 2,000 ballots come in after the 3-day grace period. You know, there's a certain number of people who are going to procrastinate. And if you tell them they got to get it in 3 days earlier, they'll get it in.
They'll get it in. Well, look, 7 p.m., the polls close. It's simple enough. I think it's no different than getting your books in on time if you're at a library, or your mortgage paid on time, or anything else. If it's important, you'll do it. And if it's not, well, then, you know, I'm sorry, folks. There are rules, and rules are there for a reason. And it's just simple is the way I see it.
And John, this isn't a novel solution. 32 other states were already, you know, setting the deadline at election night. And so we are now, we make it a clean 2/3 of the country now that election night's election night. We stop taking ballots, and that's the end of the election.
We're talking with Representative Pat Proctor, who chairs the House Election Committee. Pat, I don't know if you heard the monologue, but I want to ask you, you know, you're up in north part of the state. You're up in the Johnson County area. You had 24% turnout. We had 11% down here. And it's the local elections. It's not so bad. I mean, it's still not great, but it's not so bad in the even years. But what do we do as Republicans or even Democrats? I don't care. I mean, I'd rather they vote on Wednesday. Joke. Don't want anybody, you know. But what do we do to get better voter turnout for these local elections?
You know, the thing is, you know, Democrats, they're all living in their mom's basement. They got nothing to do. They live politics. Government's their God. We have lives, you know, and it is very hard. I knock doors every year for municipal candidates. It is very hard to get Republicans out on odd years. What I want to do, I'm going to give it a shot this year. If I don't, it's going to be on my legislative agenda as Secretary of State. I want to make all of the elections even year elections.
Oh, yes.
Make them and all partisan.
Can we, thank you. I was going to say, can we make them partisan too? Because nobody buys this nonpartisan malarkey anyway. Yeah. So let's just get rid of it.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, all the Democrats are upset. Like, oh my gosh, these are nonpartisan elections.
Bull
well,
pucky.
As soon as they won all these elections this year, the Kansas Democrats were celebrating that all their candidates won. So I guess they're only nonpartisan until after Election Day.
And
so,
I don't know if you've seen it, but Cindy Holscher has been going around posting endorsements by a bunch of school board members. But I every time she does it, I keep reposting it on Twitter and saying, oh, wait a minute, I thought these school board races were supposed to be nonpartisan.
And, you know, you were a legislator too, John. You know, folks, we knock doors in the even years and everybody's talking to us about property taxes. Well, you know what? The state of Kansas is out of the property tax business.
Right.
All of your property taxes are determined by your local governments. And if we don't get folks involved in those local elections, then we're not going to be holding those local officials accountable, and
exactly.
The budgets are going to just keep skyrocketing. So, yeah, I think that we need to move all the elections to the even year. I've talked to a lot of clerks about it. They love it because it's half as many elections.
Yeah.
So and it'll also lower property taxes because you only have to pay for half as many elections. So
I think
all around that's the best way to solve the problem.
You mentioned it. You're running for Secretary of State. I know you've been out. I've seen you all over. In fact, I think you're coming to the bourbon and cigar thing on Thursday, but how is that going? How's the campaign going?
Yeah, you know what? I am getting a great reception everywhere I go. I'm having a great time meeting folks, you know, and what I'm finding everywhere I go is people are just hungry to have a conversation. You know, for 5 years, we haven't been having a conversation about elections. We've been having a shouting match and calling each other names. And people just want to have their concerns heard. And, you know, I might not agree with them or I might agree with them. But, they, you know, we need to just listen to each other, not shout each other down. And if somebody does have a concern, we got to have the courage to address their concern. You know, if we can fix it without it costing a gajillion dollars and it doesn't make it harder to vote, let's just address their concerns so we can bring them back into the process.
Well, Pat, if they want to reach out to you, if they've got questions, they can find you at PatProctor4KS, and that's the number 4, correct?
Yes, sir.
Brother, I appreciate you, and I guess I'll see you Thursday, and we can share a cigar together. Well, not share, but you know, that, you know what I meant. that might be a little creepy,
that's
but
a deal. That's a deal. That's
I'll see
deal.
You. See
and
you
hey,
Thursday,
John. It is too early for Christmas music. I'm sorry.
No, that's not true, because I have seen Hans Gruber fall from the Nakatomi Plaza. And that is the beginning of Christmas, is when Bruce Willis throws Hans Gruber off the Nakatomi. So,
Just like the ball drop ringing in the new year.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Brother, I will see you Thursday, my friend.
Okay. Have a great evening. Thank you for having me.
Coming up, former New York Congresswoman Nan Heyworth will be with us to discuss the election of a socialist as the next mayor of New York. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And, of course, make sure you listen to KNSS on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. Yeah, you got to love the chairman of the board, I tell you. Whew! We had, by the way, coming up here in about 10 minutes, we'll be with Senator Roger Marshall, who's going to step away from the Senate floor to join us and update us on the end of the shutdown. But in the meantime, we had a political earthquake. We've had them before, but this is a nuclear blast politically, as Zoran Mandani, an open, declared radical socialist, is going to be the next mayor of New York City. I'm telling you, folks, strange times we live in. Massive wealth confiscation, shutting down fossil fuels, dismantling the NYPD. It's crazy. Joining us now is Dr. Nan Heyworth. She's a former congresswoman from New York. She serves on the Independent Women's Forum Board of Directors and is the chairwoman of the board of Conserve America. Nan, thank you for joining us. It's actually nice. We've had you on the show before. Thank you for joining us again.
It's great to be with you, John. Real privilege. Thank you.
So
exciting night.
Yeah. Tell me, what was the first thing that went through your mind when these results came in and you realized that, you know, your home city is going to be represented by a socialist?
Well, it was a sad confirmation of, as you know, John, of what we've been anticipating and hoping perhaps wouldn't happen. But Mr. Mamdani benefited from having a distinctly, even though Curtis Lee was a great patriot and a great New Yorker, in a city like New York, badly outnumbered, alas.
Yeah.
So, you know, he ran. Mamdani benefited from having a distinctly weak field. Former Governor Cuomo thought he was just going to walk into this, and boy, was he wrong.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that I think you're right. I think it was the benefit of a bad field. And a divided field too. I mean, at one point you had the four candidates. But, you know, you have to look at this. New York, I mean, it's already bleeding wealth. Florida, Texas, Tennessee, they've all been, you know, the winners of an outpopulation migration. Do you expect that to accelerate now?
Well, you know, sadly, John, yes. And it's terrible. And, you know, it's been fascinating to listen to Ron DeSantis, I will say, over the past week, because Governor DeSantis is sailing along in his own lane. You know, he is the master of that domain. And I think he's really having a great moment. And he's proving that when a Republican actually does what Republicans are supposed to do, be firm about getting government out of your citizens' lives to the fullest extent that you can, and representing the values of our founding, the values that unite us and that we share, you can do great things. And New York's Republicans have had a lot of challenges. And one of them is that, unfortunately, you know, people aren't always convinced that we do what we promise we're going to do.
Right. No, you're right.
Part of our challenge. Yeah.
We're talking with former New York Congresswoman Nan Haworth. Speaking of, you know, doing what they say, what they promise when they're campaigning, you know, Mondami had this long laundry list of promises, you know, from free grocery stores, free buses. It was free.
Yeah. Well,
you know, you and I both know I was a legislator. You were a congresswoman. It's awfully easy to promise stuff. Then comes the bill comes due. Do you think? Do you think he's going to be able to deliver on any of this stuff? And if he does, how's he going to pay for any of it?
Well, exactly, John. And who, by the way, who was his electorate? You know, kind of the kids who come from wealth.
Yeah.
And had generous support from either government or their parents or both. You know, they're the so-called highly educated.
Right.
And they're not the ones who make things. They're not the ones who put food on the table or, you know, raise their kids. Most of them don't have kids. The real, and they believe what Mamdani's selling them. The reality is that in the state of New York, we have a lot of constraints on what the mayor can do, including raising taxes, including meddling with rent control, which is a bad idea to begin with, as we all know. But, rent control is a bad idea. Making it even worse is an even worse idea.
Right.
The Metropolitan Transit Authority is actually under the purview of the state of New York. So, you know, free buses, so-called free buses, which aren't free at all. Obviously, they're taxpayer funded, won't happen so fast. But what he can mess with in a material way is the greatest police force on the face of the planet, namely the New York Police Department. And everybody's watching Jessica Tisch, who is a great Democrat. She's a credit to her party. She really cares about her city. She cares about public safety. She cares about the force. And she's been a breath of fresh air in that city. Will she remain in that role? Mamdani said, well, you know, maybe she'll remain, but she has to answer to me. And of course, you know, every sensible person is thinking, Lord, help us all. You should be answering to her, Mr. Mamdani. So we shall see, because he could really make public safety a very dire and urgent issue very quickly in the state of New York. And that will be the most immediate misery that we suffer.
It is going to be interesting. That's for sure. Nan, I appreciate you joining us tonight. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see how long before you move to Florida. So if folks are interested, this does not surprise me. If folks, I know I follow you on X. You follow me. I appreciate it. But they can find you on X at Nan Haworth, Haywort, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And let's hope Elise Stefanik, who's a fantastic representative and Republican, can actually make it through to become our next governor, because she is a great Republican who I know can carry out.
Well, she can always say, you know, do what Mondami's done to the city, I won't do to the state. Maybe that could be how she runs. Nan, thank you again for joining us. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Same.
We'll take a quick break, and then we'll talk to Senator Roger Marshall, who's going to duck off the Senate floor to update us on the state of the shutdown. This is John Whitmer. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. Great folks. If a great way for you to stay in touch, make a difference, get out and help knock doors, educate voters. Don't forget the third Saturday of every month is their day of action. It's coming up. If you want to get involved, visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up. And don't forget, Thursday, November 13th, is our Sedgwick County GOP fundraiser with bourbon and cigars with special guest Congressman Estes. You can find out more information at Sedgwick.GOP. And joining us now is Senator Roger Marshall, who just stepped away from the Senate floor. Since we've got right now happening, the Senate is voting on a key hurdle for ending the government shutdown. Senator Marshall, thank you for joining us. Really appreciate you hopping on with us this evening.
Yeah, John, to your point, I voted about 5 minutes ago. This is the first procedural step of reopening the government. There's actually 4 votes we'll have to take with some days in between them potentially. But this is the first step. So far, 3 Democrats have voted to do this. We need about 5 more, I think. So we're not sure. A little drama going on here. We'll see what happens here in the next 30 minutes or so.
Now, Fox is reporting that according to Fox, there are enough Senate Democrats willing to back this revamped plan to reopen the government. They're also reporting that this plan does not give it, any of the Obamacare stuff. Is that what you're hearing, or is there still some changes now?
So we're certainly not giving up anything on Obamacare. I mean, they certainly have learned their lesson that we have to go back and fix Obamacare. That's a story for another day. So we've not given in on that at all. This particular bill will keep government open until January 30th. And then additionally, there's funding for 3 of the buckets for the rest of the year. And I think it's real critical I think that's why maybe some Democrats are coming across these 3 buckets. One of them is for veterans. One of them is for military construction, for SNAP and Head Start. Some really good things as well are included in these three buckets. So I'm very proud of the work Senator Moran has done for the veterans, getting that bill put together as well. We are increasing and extending funding for veterans. He said like 19 programs, I think. So we've held fast. We're not going to spike the football tonight. No one wins when there's a government shutdown, especially this long. We'll come back and try to work on the cost of health care, though, when we get back here after this break.
Fox is also reporting that it reverses the firings of some of the furloughed workers and ensures that furloughed workers get back pay. But, you know, from what I understood, the president and Republicans have always been behind those two concepts. This has just been a something that the left, the media has been harping on. But I don't think I've yet to hear Republicans say no to either of those things.
Well, certainly we've even put bills forward to
right.
pay for them as well. I think there's some controversy within our party on what to do. We think the government is too large. We think there's too many federal employees. Remember, Bill Clinton fired almost 400,000 federal employees when he was president. But to any extent, that was the deal that had to be made, is we're going to reinstate the ones that were fired during the shutdown, at least temporarily. And, we just kind of have to yield with the president on that particular point.
But only the ones during the shutdown, not the ones yeah. that were done through DOGE or anything like that, correct?
You got it. Exactly.
Okay, good.
Exactly.
Good.
Yeah, and hey, I didn't answer you one question earlier. You know, the like you said, Fox is reporting that there's 10 Democrats that are going to cross the line tonight. That's what I'm hearing, too. One of them that I thought would did not. So, like I said, there's a little bit of drama going on. You don't know till you know they actually
right.
come in here and vote. So that's what the drama is about.
Are you hearing any? Does this include any leadership? Is Senator Schumer or any of the? I mean, or is this a coup, for lack of a better term?
Senator Schumer voted no. Gave a pretty impassioned speech.
Interesting.
Why he voted no as well. But Dick Durbin did vote yes, so he's their number two person. Patty Murray, who was the head of their probes, she voted no. So really, the only leadership person I know is Dick Durbin from Illinois. I hate to call it a coup, but usually your leadership is the one that vote yes on this.
Yes.
That you say, look, we need to keep the government open. We know we have policy issues, but let's not punish the American people. So this is, I would guess historical in some extents. You know, I heard someone say just here in the cloakroom a second ago, they've never seen people from the caucus take a tough vote for the leader. Usually it's vice versa. The leader takes the tough vote.
Yeah, and you know, and we're talking with Senator Roger Marshall. The other thing that's interesting that, tell me if I'm wrong here, but my perception would be that Chuck Schumer voting no almost reinforces the whole thing that he's afraid of AOC primarying him, and so he's afraid to vote yes.
Yeah, there's no doubt that they have the tail wagging the dog over in the Democrat Party right now. It's even Chuck Schumer, as you know, he's a liberal Democrat from New York, but he's not liberal enough.
Right.
So certainly he is. He's fearful of that. I think he's fearful of losing his entire party, though, to the far left Marxists.
Yes. What are you hearing now? This everything you're doing is a change to what's already passed the House. So now everything that you're doing will have to then go across the hall. Do you think there's any chance this doesn't pass the House?
I think the House is going to like it, because actually what they had worked on from an appropriation standpoint, we actually decreased the spending. That's something the Senate doesn't typically do.
No.
So we're going to give them a lower number, a package of dollars and cents. I think that's real important to a lot of my friends over there. I don't want to speak for them. I'm sure there's going to be some heartburn. They're going to find something they don't like. But I know we've worked really hard to keep the leaders in the House involved with this as well. The appropriators, of course, Speaker Johnson. So there's a lot of communication going on, I mean, day and night here between the White House, the House, and the Senate. I'm really impressed with how much we do communicate with each other.
So, Dr. Marshall, what's the timeline on this? When do you think it could all get resolved and we could get the government reopened?
Yeah, I think the best case scenario, we could get through all four votes tomorrow sometime. The worst case scenario would take us till Thursday. And it just depends on how obstinate Bernie Sanders wants to be and a few others. There's things you can do to slow down the process. And then I would assume the next day the House would come in here and vote. So the Senate could be done Monday, the House vote on Tuesday. It may go as long as Thursday and Friday, though.
Well, I got to tell you, Doc, I really appreciate, I know that you've taken a lot of heat. I've seen some of the attacks. I've seen what the Wichita Eagle done, some of the other, you know, the mainstream press that's just a shill for Democrats. But I want to say I appreciate the way the Republicans have stayed strong on this and have stuck to their guns and haven't caved. And so from my perspective, I want to thank you for that.
You're welcome. All along, our goals were to open the federal government, but also get back towards responsible spending.
Yeah.
And I think that this is a step in that direction. We've got a long way to go. The biggest challenge this country faces long term is our national debt. And So this is a huge step in the right direction. It proves that we can govern. It proves that we can go through what we call regular order. 12 buckets of funding for the federal government. Three of them are done. There's another six that have passed committee, and we hope to bring them to the floor here even before Thanksgiving if we're lucky. So we're trying to remember how to work towards a balanced budget.
And now you can, you know, now you can have an honest negotiation with Democrats about Obamacare, but you don't do that as a terrorist tactic with a gun to your head.
Exactly. We've had some great discussions with the president this past week, and I think we've got a great plan going forward to lower the cost of health care, not just spread it over to the federal government, let them take over. But instead, what we want to do, of course, is number one is take care of the fraud. There's probably $25 billion of fraud in the Obamacare as well. And then we would like to take these $35 billion of Biden subsidies and give those to consumers, give them to the people that are on Obamacare and let them make the choices rather than writing another fat check to the insurance companies. We are giving the insurance companies $150 billion a year straight to their bank accounts for Obamacare. We want to start putting more of that money back in the hands of patients. We also have a price tag bill, which would force all the hospitals and surgery centers and labs and imaging centers to give patients the cost up front. So if you have a bigger HSA, healthcare savings account, partially funded by the federal government, and then along with that price tags, we think that that competition and allowing patients to be consumer, that's going to start driving the cost of healthcare down.
Yeah, I think that's transparency has always been the key, and it's always been something they've resisted because I know at one point, you know, we started seeing more transparency. You can actually see they charged you $500 for a box of Kleenex. Maybe they'd start changing how they price things. So, Dr. Marshall,
exactly.
We appreciate you, especially, you know, responding my text like that and jumping on and stepping away from the Senate floor like this. Thank you very much. Keep the holding the line, and we appreciate it. If folks want to connect, what's the best way for them to connect with you, Doc?
You know, just go to our website, marshall.senate.gov. If you do a search, internet search for Senator Marshall, you're going to find us. We got phone numbers there, and at Roger Marshall MD on Twitter as well. So either place like that.
Thank you, Doc. Thanks, keep John. Up the good work.
Yep. Bye-bye.
It's so nice to be able to have that relationship with him that I can do that. But I appreciate his willingness to jump off a Senate floor like that and take that call. So don't forget, coming up this Thursday, November 13th at 7 p.m., the Sedgwick County Republican Party and special guest Congressman Ron Estes, who hopefully won't be back in D.C. for a vote, invite you to a fundraising evening of fine bourbon and cigar tasting at the Candle Club. For more information, you can find that out at Sedgwick.gop. In the meantime, we'll take a quick break, and then after the top of the hour break, Speaker Dan Hawkins will be with us to talk about the prospects of congressional redistricting. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. KNSS is always here for you. Tell your legislators to keep it that way by keeping AM radio in vehicles. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Our Laura Kelly theme song, which means we're getting an update from the legislature. The Kansas House's top Republican on Tuesday dropped efforts to force a redrawing of the U.S. House districts. The announcement by House Speaker Dan Hawkins ended realistically, let's be honest, months-long effort by lawmakers to call themselves into a special session on redistricting, which would have convened on Friday. With us now to explain exactly what happened and where we go from here is Speaker Dan Hawkins. Dan, thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
John, it's always good to be with you, and I always love hearing that bumper music that you started out with.
The Laura Kelly theme song, yeah.
I know I'm always in the right place when you do that.
Well, and you know, I don't know what I'm going to do when we get, and hopefully we get a Democrat governor, or excuse me, a Republican governor, because I won't be resisting. But you know, we've got some work to do before then. So we got at least a whole nother session to put up with Laura Kelly and her nonsense. So
we do. We got a whole nother year to put up with her.
Yes. Yes. All right. So walk me through, because, you know, you and I've talked about the special session. We've had lots of conversations. You put in a lot of work. I know we talked about you going to the White House. You talked to the president. We know all of the ifs, ands, and buts about that. But what happened? Basically, kind of walk me through what happened and why this isn't happening in a special session.
Well, you know, I started on this, clear back in late August was the first time I'd heard about it. You know, I think most people, when they initially hear about it, say, why do we need to do that? Why do we need to do any redistricting whatsoever? But then as you start seeing our governor, actually, she was the first person
right
in the state of Kansas that mentioned that, you know, the Democrat state should be redistricting.
Yeah, she's all for it when it was Democrats doing it. She just doesn't like it when Republicans want to do it.
No, absolutely. She would. So when she said that, you know, kind of woke me up. I said, wow. So she's advocating to, you know, her Democrat governors at the DGA that they need to redistrict. And so then I started thinking, well, gosh, if they're doing it, you know, we don't want to tie our hands behind our back and not do something if we have the opportunity to do it. And so I started exploring it at that point, talked with a lot of different people. And after some time, finally made a decision that we would do it, that we would start working towards a special session. As you know, a special session is normally called by the governor, in the state of Kansas anyway. Governor can call a special session anytime they want, but for the legislature to call a special session, it's a pretty high bar. We have to get 84 votes, which is 2/3 in the House, 27 votes in the Senate, which is 2/3 in the Senate, to call ourselves back in.
Right.
And I started that process and literally worked on it for 8 weeks straight, just working with our members, you know, answering questions, talking every day. And finally, you know, this last Tuesday, it became very evident we were not going to get the votes needed. We ended up being six votes short. There were 10 of our members that did not sign on to the special session. And I want to let the listeners know, our caucus has always prided itself in sticking together on procedural motions or procedural items to get work done. And certainly calling ourselves into special session is a procedural move. It's not a vote on anything. It's just simply a procedural move. And certainly we had 10 in our caucus that decided that they were not going to stick together anymore, which was really really disappointing.
And this
really
is, you know, it should be pointed out then the vast majority in both chambers supported whether, and we're not talking about how they might vote on the actual maps. This is just the vast majority supported going into special session and doing it. And you just had basically half a dozen or so that just for whatever reason didn't want to do the special session. And, you know, one of the things that really for me, I think these folks, well, let me back up. Let me put it to you this way. This is going to happen. Whether they wanted to do it in a special session or in January, I've been telling folks it's going to happen. But it would have been so much better to do it in a special because it's in and out and done, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our regular session, we've got a lot of things to do. And certainly this was just one of the issues. And literally as I went through the process, I would tell folks, you know, your vote has always been your vote. It always will be your vote. You can ask any of my members in the House. I never beat them up when they don't vote the way I would or the way I think they should. That's their vote. Now, I certainly talk with them and tell them why we should do something. But in the end, if they decide to vote a certain way, they got to vote their conscience, and they certainly got to vote their districts. But this wasn't a vote. This was a petition. This was a procedural petition to bring us into special session. And for our members to not do that just really is inexcusable because we've always hanged together. You know, the Democrats are famous at literally walking in lockstep on votes. We don't always walk in lockstep on votes. People have different issues in their different districts,
right,
and they're going to vote, however they feel fit. But in this case, that wasn't an option. We really need to be together. And you said it perfectly. The special session is a perfect place to bring this up, along with two other items. So that was actually the first thing we talked about doing in special session, was certainly redistricting. But then other things came up that were very, very timely and needed to be done.
Right. Like the driver's license issue.
Absolutely. And then certainly the hundreds of millions of dollars going to come in from the federal government for rural health transformation. And we certainly don't want the governor just to be able to spend that money any way she wants. What's our main purpose as representatives and senators of the state?
Power of the purse. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. We decide how money is spent, not the governor. And so we believe that was also a timely thing, because if we don't do it during special session, we won't get to do it. The money will be distributed by the federal government by the 1st of January, actually December 31, and the governor will already have control of that money. So there were three items actually to come into special session for, each one of them certainly important in their own right, but now there's a couple of them that we certainly won't have as an opportunity to take up quite like we would have. You mentioned that.
Let me do this, Dan. I'm coming up on a break here. We're talking with the Speaker of the House. Can you hold on through the break, and then we'll come back? And I want to talk to you about a couple other things. We're talking with House Speaker Dan Hawkins, and we'll take a quick break, and then we'll continue our conversation. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show. And again, no, it's not too early. On the 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. Their day of action is the third Saturday of every month. That's coming up. It's a great way to get involved. If you have any questions, you can visit AmericansForProsperity.org. It's a great way to get active, get involved, and make a difference, help educate voters. AmericansForProsperity.org. With us still is the Speaker of the House, Dan Hawkins. So, Dan, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, and frankly, I wanted to give you a kudos on, but, you remember, when I came in as a freshman, one of the things that I think members get annoyed by is when chairs and vice chairs, leadership, for lack of a better term, don't take the hard vote, and other members are forced to take the hard votes on things, and there's no consequence. And we saw an announcement that came out this week with some committee removals, where chairman and vice chairman were removed from their committee chairmanships by you. And, the press ran with the story. Of course, they called you, all kinds of names, and you're mean, and you're, that's why I think we ran with that, because you're a Grinch. But seriously, I think that's probably why Phil did that, which I think was great. But at any rate, I commend you for that, because look, if you're in leadership, you need to vote with leadership. That's just kind of the way it works. And so you removed some chairs and vice chairs this week. I'm assuming it was because they didn't vote for this procedural motion. And frankly, I want to give you kudos for that, because look, you're free, like you said, you're free to make your own votes, but actions have consequences.
I thought maybe there was a subliminal message with that. I was actually had a big smile on my face, and I thought, that darn John Whitmer, he's trying to say something with that. You know, you're and I wouldn't expect anything less from you. You know, when you're in leadership, you have to lead and you have to do the things that that you need to do to be able to have things operate correctly in the House and the Senate. And truly, to have chairs and vice chairs, any leader, I don't care what level they are, but any leader that is not working with the other leaders to make things happen is really doesn't deserve to be a chair anymore. And quite frankly, that's the reason why I made a move. There were three chairs, there were three vice chairs, and a couple others that just needed to move on. They're still there. They still have a vote. They still represent their district. But if you're not going to be a part of the leadership and work with leadership, then you just need to go back to doing what you were doing. And that's, you know, being on committees and represent your district.
And just so the listeners understand, this is not unusual. I mean, well, it's not unheard of, I will say. It is somewhat unusual, but this is not like you're the first one who's ever done this. Reichman did this. Ray Merrick did this. It happens. It's just not very common necessarily.
Nobody wants to do it.
Right.
I mean, quite frankly, you know, it wasn't something I want to do. I like each one of those people, and I still do. I still think a lot of them. But to be a chair or vice chair is not a right. It's a privilege, and it's a privilege to serve and to serve your caucus. And when you fail to serve your caucus, then you no longer get that privilege. So that's the way I look at it. And quite frankly, John, the chairs all knew what they were doing. I've heard a couple of them speak to other people since then and said, you know, Dan had to do it. I mean,
yeah,
we made a choice and we expected him to do that. And he did it.
I talked to one of them who actually told me that, who said, I knew it was coming. I expected it to coming and I would have expected nothing less. And actually the person who told me that said, Dan actually should have done it and did the right thing. Now, obviously, he would have preferred, but it was like, I made my choice. Dan made his choice, and he was probably right to do so, is what he said to me.
Yeah, it's still not something you want to do, but certainly it's something you have to do, because, quite frankly, the legislative process is not an easy process, and we all have to work together to get things done, and when you have procedures that are not followed, willfully not followed. They made a decision. They knew what they were doing, and they made a decision not to follow that procedure. Then, you know, they left me no choice but to make the decision to move them out of the chairmanship or vice chairmanship and put somebody else in that will.
You know, some of these folks, I think, were thinking, well, if we kill the special session, this because of whatever reason, this issue's dead, and I'm not going to have to vote on it because I just don't want to. But I come back to this is not going away. It's an issue that look what California just did. They threw out their bipartisan commission so that they could gerrymander California like it wasn't already gerrymandered. Also that they could hopefully get enough votes to impeach President Trump yet again. This is an issue that has to be dealt with. I'm assuming it's going to be dealt with in January, correct?
I would say most likely it will. I think that the push is still going to continue. And really what they did, those six people did by not allowing the conversation to happen in special session, is they really just put us a little bit more in a time crunch. This was the appropriate time to do it. Literally we'd have it done before Thanksgiving. Anytime you change a map, they always go to the court. I mean, that's just kind of like a given. It's going to go to the court, and the court takes time. You know, us not being able to start on it until January now just takes away some of the time to be able to get that done. And you know, not just California. Now we have Virginia. They're going to pick up. They're going to knock out some Republicans, put some Democrats, more Democrats in seats there. We truly think Illinois will probably join in the in the fight. And maybe a couple other Democrat states will also join in that. So, you know, basically there's 11 Republican states that have the ability to do this. And, you know, they're working through that as we speak. North Carolina has already done it. Texas has done it. You know, we believe Indiana will get theirs done here in the next couple of weeks or soon. Florida will join in. The list just goes on and on and on. So there's Ohio. Ohio is working on it right now. So there's a lot of states that are working on this redistricting. You know, one of the arguments is that this is not constitutional. And I've heard it in the press. You know, my Facebook gets filled full of comments and people saying it's not constitutional. Well, they're smarter than nine U.S. Supreme Court justices that ruled on it in 2003. It is constitutional, and it's been done three times since 2003. So it's not, this isn't a novel thing. This isn't new. It's been done throughout the last 15 years, several times. So this isn't unconstitutional at all. So you can take that out of your vernacular. It has nothing to do with the Constitution.
Well, Dan, keep in mind, it's only unconstitutional when Republicans want to do it.
And the Democrats have been great at gerrymandering. They're the kings and queens of gerrymandering.
Again, the only time gerrymandering is wrong or unconstitutional, if you ask the press, is when Republicans want to do it. That's my friend Dion Leffler would be the first one to tell you that. So, Dan, if folks want to connect, I know you've got your majority report that comes out. If folks want to connect, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
Best way to connect, especially if you want my newsletter, the majority record. The majority record. Go to Dan Hawkins, Kansas, and Kansas is spelled out. DanHawkinsKansas.com. Go to the bottom of the page, fill out the form, and you'll get on. You'll be one of 18,000 people across the state that get my newsletter every Friday morning at 6 a.m.
Appreciate you, brother. You know, I know you'll be up there in January for the next session. Of course, we'll be there with you, and keep fighting a good fight, my friend.
Thank you, John.
We'll take a break, and then we'll continue. I want to hear from you. I'm curious what listeners think. Like to hear your thoughts. What do you think? Should the legislature redraw maps of the U.S. House? Is it unconstitutional? Do you like the idea? Do you not like the idea? Are they trying too hard? Love to hear your thoughts. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contrast. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS or by listening to KNSS on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook or True Social pages. And follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show.
John, I stuck that bumper music in. Veterans Day is on Tuesday. And just want to give a shout out to all the veterans, all the folks who have served, have served. Big shout out to my father who served in the Army. Tuesday is a big deal. It should be a big deal. So a big shout out to them.
Anyway, I agree.
So.
Good call. Thank you. Yeah, my stepdad, before he passed, was Wichita's oldest living Marine, lived to 98.
Nice.
Served World War II. My dad served in World War II in the Navy. So, it's good. Thank you. Good call. And we've got, I know, like Blake Carpenter's on the show. He's active Army, Air Force. Well, he'd be calling me now, Air Force Reserve. Yeah. But we've got a lot, and a lot of the legislators, actually. Chris Croft is Air Force as well. So
pastor of my church is a former Marine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Semper Fi.
Some great sermons.
I'll bet. Yeah, that's a way to motivate the folks out of the pews from the pulpit. There,
fantastic gentleman.
I'll bet. But no, I'm glad you thought of that. Thank you. That was a good call. It's interesting. As we talk about, because I did get some folks who were asking about the chairs and the vice chairs.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, because as freshmen, you don't get to, freshmen, you're just figuring out where the bathrooms are. As a sophomore, you can be, if you're lucky, you might be a vice chair.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be a chair unless, maybe special circumstance, you might be a chairman. If they've had a lot of turnover. I was a vice chair as a sophomore. My buddy Leo Delperdang, a few others have been. By the way, Leo's listening tonight, so thank you, Leo, for listening. He always texts me during the show. He keeps me honest. He's now a chair. He's now a mucky muck. He's one of them big old, he got a powerful committee, Leo does. Okay. And he deserved it. He's earned it. He's a good chair. He's one of the better ones. But one of the things about it, when you move into leadership, Dan's right. There's an expectation. It's even more so when you run for, whip or speaker pro tem or one of those House leadership or Senate leadership positions. It's even more incumbent upon you if you run for leadership that, you have to vote with leadership, which I remember when I was in my sophomore year, people were talking about, hey, have you ever want to run for leadership? And I remember saying, no, I didn't, because I didn't want to be in that position where I was going to have to vote for something. I wanted that freedom because I pretty much had a reputation I was never going to vote for a budget.
That's a big responsibility.
Yeah. And if the budget is up and we need that 63rd vote and the budget has a bunch of new spending, I wasn't going to vote for it. I was not going to be your 63rd to get you a big spending bill. And I just wasn't going to do it. And if you're a key or a tax increase, for example, I just wasn't going to do it.
Because those aren't the things that you ran on
exactly.
To get you into the spot where you're at.
I did it once, and I was never going to do it again. And even when I announced, you remember, two years ago, I announced that I was going to run for the House again.
Yes.
And I made it very clear, don't ever ask. I will never vote for another tax increase, period. Ever, ever, ever. Will not. I signed a no tax pledge, and it will not happen. And that will probably... I could be a chairman again, but they'll have to understand, I will never vote for a tax increase, period, under no circumstance. And that restriction restricts some people from moving up in the ranks.
Right.
Because if they need you to get a tax bill or they need you to get X and you're a hard no, you know, so, but that's, you heard Dan. You know, it's, but leadership, that's part of the give and take of being in leadership.
Right. And, and there are consequences.
There are.
And if you can't follow through on, because in order to take this leadership position, vice chair or chair.
And it's a little different on a procedural vote. And I, you know, like the nuances, they generally won't do anything if you're the no on a bill. I'm not going to vote on it, but a procedural bill like overriding a veto or something like that, that's a little different. That's, you know, or this, which is, hey, we're just doing the vote to come back for a session. We should all be unified on that. We should all be, you know, upholding the ruling of the chair or upholding, you know, whether or not this is germane. That's a procedural vote. That's a, you know, that's where we're all supposed to come together. Now, when we actually get to the bill, then you can vote your con. Then you can vote your district. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I kind of get him. You know, that's where we vote as a team. And then on the bill, we can vote separately. Then you can, you know, I mean, there are a lot of times, I'll give you a good example, that when you're serving on a committee and the chair really needs you to help get something out of the committee. So you might vote to, yeah, I'll help you get it out of committee so we can debate it on the House floor. But when it comes up on the floor, I did this a couple times. Look, I don't like your bill. I'll help you get it out so that we can vote on it on the floor. But when it comes up on the floor, I'm a no. Mm-hmm. But I would help my chairman because he wanted to let it at least get out to the whole body so that the whole body could debate it. So I would help him by helping to pass it out of committee so that the entire chamber could vote on it. Mm-hmm. But he'd know full well that I wasn't going to support him when it came up on the floor.
So change hats here for a second.
Sure. I wear too many as it is, but yeah, okay.
Change hats here for a second. So put yourself, and this is just a hypothetical, put yourself on the other side of it. You're one of those
six or eight
yeah. that didn't follow through to get this special session.
Yeah.
What's the thinking behind that? Is it better to – because it's like you said, this is going to happen regardless.
Yeah.
It's just that it's now – being so thrown into the spring of next year.
I've talked to a number of them. There were a couple who thought that they who were wrong, but thought if we kill the special session, we won't have to vote for it because I didn't want to. Mm-hmm. Or it's a bad vote in their mind. And so they thought if we kill a special session, I'm not going to have to deal with it. I think that's a misconception. They were warned, but.
Sorry, I'm looking for the buzzer here.
Yeah.
On the,
Okay. No, that's. Yep. I think they were advised that no, it's coming. Whether you want to vote for it in November or you want to vote for it in January, either way, you're voting for it. But you know, you can lead a horse to water; you can't make him drink. So, but I think there were some who thought that. I do know that there are a number of these folks who believe it's unconstitutional. Again, that's a philosophical debate. I do think it's ironic that many of the people who think it's unconstitutional. Of the people who believe that, none of them are lawyers.
So,
you know, it's like, okay, I wasn't aware that you all of a sudden graduated from law school and became a constitutional scholar. You know, and again, like Dan said, there are 9 Supreme Court justices who are experts in this field who disagree with you. But, you know, hey, congratulations. Your 20 minutes that you spent on, you know, Google researching, apparently, you know, but they did sleep at a Holiday Inn Express.
Oh. So.
But whatever. I mean, that's where a little bit of knowledge is dangerous. That's kind of where I think some of these folks are. Mm. But hey, you know, you're entitled to your opinion, but that's where I think they are. The other argument that is hard to argue with is people who say that it's just wrong. It's two wrongs don't make a right. That, you know, look, if it's wrong for Democrats to gerrymander, if it's wrong for them to do it, then it's wrong for Republicans to do it. I can understand the moral argument there. The two wrongs don't make it right argument. That, you know, for us to say it's wrong for Democrats to gerrymander, or to draw people, you know, I get that. And if you're thinking purely on a philosophical argument, when you're, you know, just let's just have a in a bubble, let's have an argument on a chalkboard, whiteboard somewhere. That I get that argument. But we're talking reality here. And the reality is, in the real world, if we lose in 26 and the Democrats take control of the Congress, they're going to impeach Donald Trump every other week.
Every step of the way.
Right. Yes. They're going to they're going to undo everything he's done. We're going to have Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico become states. They're going to stack the Supreme Court. This is what the Democrats are going to end the filibuster. I mean, I'm giving you what their plan is and the damage that they will do to the to our country. That's what we're looking at here. So you can't have this conversation in a bubble. And Democrats have been doing this kind of nonsense for decades. Look at Illinois, look at Virginia, look at some of the Vermont, look at New Hampshire, look at all the states that they've been doing this stuff in. And, you know, yeah, is it wrong? Sure. But two wrongs don't make a right. Sure. I get all that. But that's the game. And if we don't want to play, they just win. So it's high time, and it's muddy and it's dirty. Okay, well, it's time for us to get down in the mud and play ball.
That's the thing. Because this is going to continue to happen.
Right. And until they agree not to play it, you know, you're either going to get beat up or you're going to get down there and we're both going to get beat up, and then maybe somebody will stop. Mm-hmm. But, you know, otherwise we're just going to lose. And so, you know, this is how you deal with a bully. You either let the bully beat you up or you punch the bully in the face. And when you do, the bully finally will stop. And that's where we're at here. It's time to punch the bully back. And then the bully will go, oh, wait, okay, well, if you're fighting back, maybe we should stop. And that's kind of where we're at. It's time to punch the bully in the face. And that's, you know, it's time for us to punch the bully in the nose. Kind of the way to look at it. We'll take a quick break. You tell me if I'm wrong. You know, I'm always willing to hear if I'm wrong. Dion Leffler would tell me I'm a bully. Which, you know, maybe I am. Studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. They've got their Day of Action coming up on the third Saturday of the month. It's a great way to get engaged, to make a difference. You have the power to change the trajectory of our city. Great way to help educate voters, to remind them what's coming up, certainly to inform them. If you want information, you can visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up. Of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer. Don't forget, coming up this Thursday, the 13th at 7, the Sedgwick County Republican Party and special guest Congressman Ron Estes are hosting a great event. It's a fundraising event of evening of fine bourbon and cigar tasting at the Candle Club. For more information, you can visit sedgwick.gop. I'll be there. I know we've got a great crowd. There's still tickets available. Again, it's coming up Thursday evening, the 13th at 7. A bourbon and cigar tasting should be a lot of fun. Ray, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thank you for sticking around.
Yes. On this gerrymandering thing. Uh-huh. If the districts aren't a recognizable geometric shape, then they're wrong. And on top of that, the Democrats are the biggest bunch of racists. They carve out areas just to tie off the black people from everybody else.
Yeah, I've seen the maps. I've seen some, you know, suggest some perspective maps.
Yeah,
they're going to look funny. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They're going to look. They won't be quite as bad as Illinois, but you know, there's no way to do them. It's population. So the one thing that you have to keep in mind: none of these are done with race. It's all based on numbers. It's all based on population numbers. Now, I don't know how Dems do.
When I see a district in Illinois.
Well, then now that's true. Illinois was pretty bad, but
how racist can you get?
That's true. Illinois' maps are pretty, but that's a perfect example of gerrymandering. Look at Illinois, look at California, and look at the new maps that California is drawing now. I mean, it's blatantly obvious what they're doing. They're drawing out Republicans, you know, which is why we've got to, you know, we're fighting. This is tit for tat, and you know, I mean, it's. People say, "Well, it's politics." Yeah, it is. It's a but this is a political. This is not an idea. This is not about anything. It's blatantly political. Correct. It's
well,
blatantly
you're right political. About punching them in the nose.
Yep,
you got to.
I appreciate it, Ray. I appreciate the call. Thank you, sir. John, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thank you for joining us.
You bet. Quick question.
Yeah.
John, great show as always.
Thank you.
And my first inclination is to disagree with President Trump on eliminating the filibuster currently.
I tend to agree with you there.
Yeah, I get the argument that the Democrats, when they take control, they will do away with it, pack the courts and all that. But just want you to elaborate on that a little bit. What you think?
I tend to agree with you because I'm not entirely sure that there would be, if we put it this way, if we get rid of the filibuster, they will take advantage of it. If we don't get rid of the filibuster, I'm not entirely sure the Dems will have enough votes to do it, because there are still a few moderate Dems that are scared of what we'll do with it the same way we're scared of what they'll do. You know, like your John Fetterman's, there are a couple of mod, not many, but there's a couple of squishy mods that are still a little scared. And so I'm kind of the same boat that, you know, look, that's a that's a careful what you wish for type of moment. And I kind of think like you do. And nobody's ever accused me of being a moderate or a rhino or a squishy. But
yeah, well, they started it with how you nominate and pass judges.
Correct.
So not that we want to go down that road.
No,
they certainly might.
Yes,
we'll see.
I appreciate the call, John. This is the more you, it's a slippery slope, and the more you whittle away at the Senate filibuster, I don't know. I'm kind of the same thought, and I don't disagree with the president on much. I do wish occasionally he'd stay off Twitter or X or, you know, or True Social. But that's, you know, he's a developer from New York City who grew up fighting battles with, you know, other developers, and that's just the way he is. And I'd take mean tweets over Joe Biden any day of the week and twice on Sunday. But, you know, I kind of am with the same mindset as John is on the filibuster. I just think it's, if we go nuclear, they're going to go, it's mutually assured destruction. For lack, there's a reason, you know, we never have had a nuclear war. And it's the same thing with the Senate filibuster. And I'm afraid if we go there, then it'll just be Katie bar the door. And I think we're better off leaving it in place and just trying to find a workaround. But we'll see. And it looks like we did. I mean, we had Senator Marshall on in the last hour, and it looks like we were able to make it work. The Democrats caved. So let's you know, hope it works out. Don't forget, Thursday night, 7 o'clock, bourbon and cigars at the Candle Club. I hope you'll join us. In the meantime, next Sunday, we will be a little late. We'll be on immediately following the Chiefs postgame show. In the meantime, see you Thursday for bourbon and cigars.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.